You are listening to InSearch Radio, dedicated to providing inspirational and important content for you and your family. You can listen to our broadcast through our website at InSearch.com or pick up our podcast through iTunes. We encourage you to post your own story and to share our content with others.
God has put His people in the culture to influence it, to make a difference. God is not calling us as believers to isolate, but rather to infiltrate, to influence.
Pastor Greg Laurie speaks to believers who prefer to stay in their bubble and not hang out with sinful people.
Okay, I understand you don't want to be influenced in a bad way, but how about influencing them in a good way?
This is the day when the lost are found.
Well-lived Christian life is often a question of balance. Grace balanced with truth. Candor balanced with compassion. Boldness balanced with humility. Well, as we strive to live a holy life, a life set apart for Jesus, we need to balance that with the need to share the love of Christ with those who need Him. Today on A New Beginning, Pastor Greg Laurie offers some counsel and points out the need to be wholly sold out for God with the day of the Lord approaching.
Whenever something is popular, you know there will always be imitations, be it a style of clothing, a style of music, maybe it's a product that's come out, a computer, or whatever it is, there will be imitations. For instance, you know, Apple redefined the whole cell phone market with their iPhone, and prior to that, that's not what phones look like. But now there's so many versions of them, and a lot of the companies will advertise themselves as this new phone that's going to be the iPhone killer. Imitations galore. And that is the idea that Jesus conveys in the parable that we're going to read in a few moments, that prior to the return of the Lord, Satan is going to effectively flood the market with cheap imitations of the real thing. In fact, there will be so many genuine imitations, if you will, out there. Some people will have a difficult time knowing the true from the false. And why does the devil do this? Because it's an effective ploy. For instance, maybe you knew someone who was a strong Christian. In fact, they may have even influenced you putting your own faith in Jesus Christ. And then after a period of time passed, it was revealed that that person was not the Christian you thought they were. Even worse, it was revealed they were living a double life that was a complete contradiction of their profession of faith. And so you then said, well, if they're a hypocrite, then I'm not going to be a Christian either. I'm going to turn my back on this. They're all just a bunch of phonies. Now, if that's your reaction, here's what the devil would say in response. Voila! That's French for gotcha. You fell for my trap. You bought into what I was doing. And that is really the picture that we are given as we look at the way things will be in the last days. That there are going to be people who are going to be imitation Christians or genuine imitations, or another way we might look at them is calling them posers. You know what a poser is? It's someone that pretends to be something they are not. You know, you have people that pretend to be outlaw bikers when they really are. You know, maybe they have hair sewn into their helmet, long, you know, hair coming out, and they take it off, and the hair comes off with it. I have one of those, as a matter of fact. You know, so sometimes people will appear to be something they really are not. And that is the idea that's being conveyed in the story that is before us and what is called the parable of the wheat and the tares. According to this parable, in the last days, there are going to be many who believe and many who will fake believe. They will sit side by side in the same churches. They'll sing the same songs. They'll read the same Bibles. They'll say the same things to some degree, but in reality, these people, the so-called tares, were never really believers to begin with. They are not believers that have gone astray. They are people who never believed but have been faking it from day one. Because the Bible tells us that one of the signs of the end times will be there will be a form of godliness, but people will deny the power thereof. So let's read now the parable of the wheat and tares found in Matthew 13, and we'll start in verse 24. Another parable he put forth to them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, the enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. And when the grain had sprouted and produced a crop, then the tares also appeared. So the servants of the owner came and said to him, 'Sir, did you not sow good seed in your field? How is it then that it has tares?' He said, 'An enemy has done this.' His servant said to him, 'Do you want us to go and gather them up?' He said, 'No, lest when you have gathered up the tares, you also uproot the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And at the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, first gather together the tares and bind them together in bundles and burn them and gather the wheat into my barn.'" So here's the picture that Jesus gives of the last days. You're going to have God at work and you're going to have Satan at work. Simultaneously, sort of reminds us of that opening line of A Tale of Two Cities by Charles Dickens when he writes, "It was the best of times and it was the worst of times." That is how our world will be prior to the return of Jesus Christ, both the best and the worst happening at the same time. Here's the good news. God is going to be at work and people are going to be coming to faith in Jesus Christ. We're told in Acts 2:17 that in the last days, God says, "I'll pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions and your old men will dream dreams." Now, here's the bad news. Satan will be at work as well, seeking to undermine the faith of people, because 2 Timothy 3:13 says, "Evil people and imposters will flourish. They will go on deceiving others, and they themselves will be deceived." So this shows that right up until the Lord's return, a spiritual battle is going to be raging. We're going to see the good and the bad, the godly and the ungodly together. We see that God will ultimately have the victory over the devil and his kingdom, but we also see that the devil is not going to take this lying down. Sometimes the devil will come in all of his depravity and wickedness like a roaring lion. Other times he'll come more subtly as an angel of light. It's good for us to be familiar with his tactics. 2 Corinthians 2:11 says, "So Satan will not outsmart us. We are very familiar with this evil scheme." Victor Hugo put it this way, quote, "A good general must penetrate the brain of his enemy." Our enemy is the devil. Let's penetrate his brain for a few moments. As we look at this parable where Jesus exposes one of the ways in which Satan works, and specifically one of the ways in which Satan will be working in the end time, and it's going to be through imitation.
Pastor Greg Laurie will have the second half of his message in just a moment. Listen to this email from one of our A New Beginning listeners.
"Dear Greg, I've been listening to your podcasts during my drive to work for the last 5 years or so. A little over 5 years ago, my wife and I were called to pastor an inner city church in Lynchburg, Virginia. We have seen God do some amazing things at the church as we deal with the homeless as well as addictions of various kinds. I am still working full time in addition to pastoring, and the load gets heavy at times. Your daily sermons are an encouragement to me, and when I hear how you have persevered, it helps me keep going for the Lord. I was listening to your podcast in 2008 when you lost your son, and I wept listening how the Lord carried you through that difficult time. I have been a Harvest partner for the last few years and recently shared your latest book on hope with a woman at our church whose son suddenly passed away at 22 years old. She told me last Sunday that it was helping her during this difficult time. Thank you for all you do. It is not in vain."
We're so thankful for friends like that who share Pastor Greg's teaching with others and are also a part of our support team, Harvest Partners.
Could we ask you to consider helping on a regular basis as this man does? Get all the Harvest Partner details online at harvest.org. And drop Pastor Greg an email yourself at greg@harvest.org. And now Pastor Greg continues his message from Matthew chapter 13 called Genuine Imitation.
Now in this parable that we just read, we see two sowing. First we have a farmer who goes out and sows seed in his field. A common occurrence, hoping for a good crop, nothing really unusual here. But then we see something that is quite unexpected and even dastardly. We have an enemy sowing seed right next to the good seed that the farmer just sowed with the purpose of uprooting the good seed. Jesus uses the word tare. That would also be known as the darnel seed that initially looks like wheat. In fact, it's not until it's fully grown that you realize it's not wheat at all. And by the way, this was a common crime back in these days where maybe a competitor would sow tares among your wheat so your crop would be worth less and theirs would be worth more. It was such a problem that there was even a specific law against it on the book. So this was something that people would have immediately understood, sowing tares among the wheat. So you see, well, this is all very interesting, but what does this have to do with me? Actually, a lot. Let's read on for the interpretation. Verse 36. Then Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house. And his disciples came to him and saying, explain to us the parable of the tares of the field. Jesus answered and said, he that sows the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seeds are the sons of the kingdom, but the tares are the sons of the wicked one. The enemy who sowed them is the devil, and the harvest is at the end of the age, and the reapers are the angels. Therefore, as the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so will it be at the end of this age. The Son of Man will send out his angels. They will gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and those who practice lawlessness, and cast them into the furnace of fire. There'll be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He that has ears to hear, let him hear. So now, this is a little bit different than the parable of the sower. In the parable of the sower was Jesus, and the seed was the Word of God. Now, in this particular parable, again, the sower is Jesus, but the difference is we, the believers, are the seed. And in this case, the field that the seed is being sown in is the world owned by God in which we are planted. So what does this mean? That means that God has planted us as believers in this world. Let me say it another way. God has put his people in the culture to influence it, to make a difference. God is not calling us as believers to isolate, but rather to infiltrate, to influence. Sometimes I think we try to avoid all contact with non-believers. I don't know if this is popular among kids anymore, but when I was in elementary school, we had this little game we would play where you would touch someone and you would say, you have cooties. Remember cooties? And so then you had to have a way to defend yourself and someone would touch you. I just gave you cooties. You'd say, no, I don't have cooties. No, I gave you cooties. No, I don't have them. Why? Because of this. And you'd hold your hand out and written on your hand were the letters KP. That's cootie protection. I think in the same way, we're like out there, well, I don't want to talk to that non-believer. Well, I don't want to be exposed to that. I don't want to see this other thing. I might get cooties, if you will. I understand you don't want to be influenced in a bad way, but how about influencing them in a good way? To change metaphors, as Christians, we are to be salt and light. That's what Jesus says. What does it mean? Well, salt, back in biblical times, was used to preserve meat. It was rubbed into meat to stop the spread of putrefaction or rotting. So as salt in the culture, it means I am to stop the spread of corruption. But another thing that salt does is it stimulates thirst. So I am here to stop the spread of corruption and to stimulate in others a thirst for God. Secondly, I am to be light. What does that mean? It means I am to proclaim the gospel and do good works. Jesus said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. I'm placed in this world by God to influence it. But guess what? According to Jesus in the parable of the wheat and the tares, the devil has placed his sons, his daughters, in the world too. So then my job as a Christian is to identify them and uproot them, right? No. According to our Lord, that is not my job. I am called again to be salt and light, to live a godly life. It's God's job to identify the fake Christians, if you will, or the tares among the wheat. Now, sometimes I think Christians believe that we are never to make any evaluations of any people. We are to just be loving to everyone. And it is true we should be loving, but what does that mean? Well, being loving means I speak the truth. In fact, the Bible says, speak the truth in love. So if I'm out with my friend and we're having lunch and they have spinach in their teeth, you know, as a friend, I'll say, you have some spinach in your teeth. You don't just, like, you know, not tell them. Or you might let them know about something else. I was with a friend the other day. I won't say who it was, but he's a famous pastor. You would know him if I said his name and his fly was open. So I was talking with him, and I noticed it, and I said, got to tell you something. He said, what? I said, your fly's open. He said, oh. I said, I think he was getting ready to go speak, and I didn't want that to happen to him. And so he said, thanks. I said, well, you know, only a true friend would tell you that. He said, it's right. You are a true friend. Now, do you want to know who it was? Who wants to know who it was? See, what's wrong with you? You're not true friends. But I am, and I will not reveal it. Raul Reese. No, it wasn't. It actually wasn't Raul Reese. If it was, I would have revealed it a long time ago, but to someone else. That's not the point. But the point I'm making is a friend tells a friend the truth, even if it's uncomfortable or awkward. Now let's talk about something that matters. Sin. Maybe you see some compromise in their life. You see some weakness in their life. You say, I love you, and because of that, I feel I need to warn you. Now, they might get upset. People don't like to be criticized. And the knee-jerk reaction we will often hear is, hey, don't judge me. Who are you to judge me? Doesn't the Bible say judgment lest you be judged? And we go, oh, yeah, you're right. No, wait, wait. No, I am going to judge you, brother. And I hope that you will judge me. Because the Bible tells me that judgment begins at the house of God. And it even says, are we not unworthy to judge even the smallest matters? When I make an evaluation about a person's life, I am in effect judging them, and there's nothing wrong with that. The Bible never says that I should not have any judgment in my life, but what I should avoid is condemnation. Now, when Jesus says in the Sermon on the Mount, judge not lest you be judged, a better translation of that, and I wish it was translated this way, would be condemn not lest you be condemned. Yes, I should make judgment. Yes, I should make evaluations. But no, I am not in the position to condemn. I'm not judge, jury, and executioner. Because sometimes you'll look at someone and say, well, they're not a Christian. Well, you know, maybe judging from their actions, we could make that conclusion. But we don't really know now, do we? That's the point that's being made here. So on one hand, we don't want to be a person that is never making evaluations, but then we don't want to be overly condemning and always coming down on people. And some people are that way. They're just, it seems like all they look for are things wrong. You know, their whole life is spent in finding what's wrong with other people. Like the old codger that was not known for his faith, who went over to the preacher's house to watch him repair his roof. And as the pastor was working away, said to the guy, "What do you want to pick up some tips on carpentry?" The old guy said, "No, I just want to see what a preacher says when he hits his thumb with a hammer." So some people are, they're just waiting for you to slip up. Ah, I saw that. That wasn't very godly now, was it? And then when we see some inconsistency in a person's life, we're quick to say, hypocrite. And we're quick to say, well, they're a phony. They're not a believer at all. Well, no, maybe they're just a struggling believer. Even godly people can mess up. Even real Christians can make mistakes and sin against the Lord. The Bible even tells us if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. And let me just say, if you're looking for the hypocrite-free church, I have good news for you. Your search is over. So you might be saying, are you saying this is the hypocrite-free church? No, what I'm saying is there is no hypocrite-free church. So stop looking for one. And besides, if you ever found it, if you join it, it would be ruined. Sometimes we confuse hypocrisy with humanity. We will sin. We will fall short. That is clear.
Straightforward counsel today from Pastor Greg Laurie from his message titled, Genuine Imitation. And you'll want to remember that title if you'd like to get a permanent copy of today's study. Just give us a phone call at 1-800-821-3300 and we'll be glad to help you with all the details. Again, mention Genuine Imitation as you call 1-800-821-3300 or just go online to harvest.org. Well, Pastor Greg, you have a chapter in your new book, Following Jesus in the Modern World, that talks about following the Lord during the storms of life.
Right.
And you faced a storm a few years ago when your son went to heaven unexpectedly.
Right.
And now so many others have contacted you with stories of their own pain and have commented on how much your counsel has meant to them.
Mm.
But in reality, that counsel has always been available to the followers of Jesus, hasn't it?
Yeah, because Dave, I'm just telling people what the Bible says, and I tell them that because, number one, I know it's true, but also, number two, because I found it personally to be true. And I think of when Jesus crossed the Sea of Galilee with his disciples, he said to them, let's go to the other side. He didn't say, let's go to the middle of the Sea of Galilee and die in a storm. If he had said that, I would have been reluctant to get into that boat. Rather, he said, let's go to the other side. He did not promise them that it would be an easy trip, but he did promise that they would reach their destination. And in effect, Christ has said the same to us. He has said, let's go to the other side. One day we're going to get to heaven. One day we're going to have all of our questions answered. But until then, life is like a storm. Oh, sure, there's sunny days, and there's calm waters when the birds are out, and it's beautiful. But there's stormy seas. And there's hurricanes, and there's hardship, and there's tragedy. But the good news is if we follow Jesus, we're never alone. And when he says to Matthew in the beginning of the Gospel of Matthew, follow me, it would better be translated, follow me each and every day. So the idea that Christ is communicating is, don't just follow me on Sundays, or follow me part of the day, follow me every day. Every hour of the day, follow me in the beginning of your life, the middle of your life, and at the end of your life, and we will get to the other side together. With Christ, you're never alone. So I've written a brand new book, and I'm calling it Following Jesus in the Modern World. And it is really a treatment of the Gospel of Matthew. We go through Matthew's Gospel chapter by chapter, verse by verse, and we see how it helps us today to be effective followers of Jesus Christ.
All right, and we have a copy of this new book waiting for you. It's being made available to thank you for your donation in support of the work we do here at Harvest Crusades and A New Beginning. We're focused on our commitment to bring you solid Bible teaching each day here on this program. Would you consider helping with that cause with a commitment of your own? Would you consider supporting us on a regular basis? We call those close friends Harvest Partners. And we have some special ways to show our appreciation. You can get all the details online at harvest.org. Just click Harvest Partner. And don't forget to request Pastor Greg's new book, Following Jesus in the Modern World. You can give us a phone call at 1-800-821-3300, 1-800-821-3300, or write A New Beginning, Box 4000, Riverside, California, 92514. Or take care of all the details online at harvest.org. And while you're online, click on over to Pastor Greg's blog and find out what's on his mind today. You can even post a comment back to Pastor Greg. Just go to blog.greglaurie.com. Well, next time, Pastor Greg has more encouragement for us about being a genuine believer, not an imitation. Be sure to tune in.
You are listening to InSearch Radio, dedicated to providing inspirational and important content for you and your family. You can listen to our broadcast through our website at InSearch.com or pick up our podcast through iTunes. We encourage you to post your own story and to share our content with others.
This is John DeSalvo, and I want to tell you about an incredible product for your car called 5-Star Shine. Once you use this, you'll never have to wax your car again, and it will always look bright and clean. 5-Star Shine is the only paint protection system ever granted a U.S. patent and used by the U.S. Navy in the world's harshest marine environments. 5-Star Shine protects cars, trucks, SUVs, boats, and aircraft for years and keeps them much cleaner between washes with a super slick coating. It also keeps your vehicles always looking their best. In addition to the world-famous 5-Star Shine paint protection system, 5-Star Shine also offers car dent removers, car scratch removers, products for removing ugly oil stains from driveways, and so much more. Check out their website and their products at 5starshine.com, and that's the number 5, 5starshine.com. Thank you, and God bless.
Enjoy the music of Christian singer and songwriter Terry Clark. Terry's music can be purchased on iTunes. This is his song, Thank You, Jesus.
I was so far away, as far as ever I could stray. But you were there to bring me.
If you would like to get a cell phone plan with unlimited voice, data, and text for only $49 per month, please email Glenn Kennedy at glenn@msearch.com. That's G-L-E-N-N at N as in Nancy, S-E-A-R-C-H.com, or contact him through msearch.com. You can also click the cell phone banner at InSearch.com for more details on this special offer. If you are interested, you can also earn money through the company by simply referring others so they can save money too. This cell phone company is rewarding their users for referrals instead of spending their money on expensive television ads. You'll be saving money each month and supporting InSearch Radio and our efforts reaching others with our inspirational programming. Thank you for your support.
There is a war going on, a spiritual war, a war between truth and deception. Only one thing cuts through all the lies and opinions of man. It is the truth of an ancient book, the Bible. It is God's word, God's sword.
My brother, we are in days in a war. There is a threat on our lives, we can't stay anymore.
First Peter chapter 1. Here Peter talks about manifold or many-fold, all the different kinds, the variety of troubles. There's such a variety. We've got so many different kinds of troubles. All of us do. Well, first of all, you got to live with you. I got to live with me. If that's not bad enough, then we're surrounded by others of us. We got to put up with it. And then, of course, we've got physical troubles, afflictions or injuries, or just wear. And on top of that, we got financial troubles or financial injuries or challenges. We have relationship challenges, the challenge to forgive, the challenge to not be bitter. We got trials. We got people saying bad things about us. Huh. We got manifold temptations, manifold trials. We all do. But check out what he says. He says in that context, he goes, now for a season. It's seasonal. It's not always going to be like this. Now for a season, you're in heaviness through manifold temptations. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, it might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. That great unveiling, when that day comes, your faith is going to shine like gold that has been tried, tested, purified. What happens to gold? All precious metals go into a crucible and they are heated to a liquid. And as a liquid, gold, the liquid itself, is heavier than any impurity that might be in it. Any other substance that's not actually gold, that is in the gold, will rise to the top and can then be skimmed off, so that the gold that has been through the fire is purer. Fire does the gold a favor. And believe it or not, our troubles do us a favor. Those people that are actually using your name in vain and trashing you, talking about me, those people are actually serving us. They're doing us a favor, every bit as much as the fire itself does the gold. Now, it may not be pleasant, but it is nevertheless doing good. God is able to cause all things to work together for the good of those who love Him and are called according to His purpose. You got trouble in your life? God is using it for your good. God is able to do that. Your troubles are, in fact, serving you, whether you realize it or not. If you believe what is written in the Word, that all things actually means all things. James is talking about our trials or the manifold tests and temptations. All of it is being like the fire that purifies the gold. It's going to pay off, guys. When? At the appearing of Jesus Christ. Verse 8, speaking of Him, it says, whom, having not seen, you love. Christian, you love somebody you have never laid eyes on. You love someone you have not seen. Whom having not seen you love, in whom, though now you see him not, yet believing you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Do you guys see the mix that we have here? Do you see, do you recognize the mix? He said, right now you greatly rejoice, though maybe you're in heaviness through manifold temptations. Yet when you talk about the Lord, you think about Him, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. That mix that exists in our lives right now, it's a mix of trouble and joy, heaviness and joy. So what are you focused on? Are you focused only on the heaviness, the bitterness? Surely at some point in your life, you've had the opportunity to taste the individual elements that make up a chocolate cake. You ever taken a big bite of baker's chocolate? not okay. Not pleasant. I told you that time I snuck into my grandma's pantry, grabbed a big old can, ripped the lid off, and found in there what I believed was white frosting. Well, I was so happy. I was so excited. I looked this way, I looked that way. I found the biggest spoon I could. And I scooped out a big old massive spoonful I could barely fit in my mouth. It was lard. It wasn't frosting. It was just an element, a piece of the recipe that makes up a cake. And by itself, it was most unpleasant. I was like, I was a little kid, man. I'm like, looking for a place to eject. Then I find a rag to wipe off the inner roof of my mouth. Pull my tongue out and wipe that thing off. Stayed with me for a long time. The experience to this day, still with me. I'm like, wow, this is just part of the cake. All by itself, it's gross. And so also, life. I'm not trying to wax philosophical or anything, but life is like a cake. But in a way, it's got the elements of bitterness and the elements of sweetness. And that's the deal. It's a package, guys. It's true. That is the mix. Right now in your life, you have troubles, reasons for heaviness, reasons for sorrow, but you also at the same time have reasons for joy. And they do. They kind of balance each other out. It's all a matter of focus. What do you focus on? The eternal perspective, one that looks ahead, forward and upward, has you rejoicing. It's not always going to be like this. I'm telling you again today, it's not always going to be like this. Now he said in verse 9, receiving the end of your faith, the goal of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Speaking of that salvation, in verse 10, he goes, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you. The prophets, man, that prophesied about the coming of Christ under the law, they inquired. They wanted to understand grace, this whole grace arrangement, this whole deal in the gospel. They inquired about it. Verse 11, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify, when it testified beforehand, the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. What did the prophets prophesy? The suffering of Christ and the glory that should follow. Those two things, and in that order. The Old Testament prophecies about Christ, they confuse the rabbis. They still confuse the rabbis. Because it's like there's two different Christs that are proclaimed by the prophets. One is a suffering servant, the other one a conquering king. They couldn't figure out how could they be the same guy. What they didn't know is what you and I have the benefit of knowing. On the other side of his first advent, anticipating his second advent, we recognize that the prophecies speak about two different visits of Messiah. Christ would come first to suffer for us. He would come again to conquer, to judge. But the crosses in life come before the crowns. The price first is paid, long before the reward is given. And so it will be in our life. But there's these prophets, and they're prophesying about the suffering of Christ and the glory that would follow, and they wanted to understand this. They really wanted to get it. How's it all going to work? The plan of salvation. They inquired. Verse 12, unto whom it was revealed, that not unto themselves, but unto us did they minister, the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven. Which things the angels desire to look into. How about that one, guys? Even the angels themselves really wish they could experience this thing. They observe grace, God loving us even though we don't deserve it. They observe forgiveness and unearned favor. And even the angels are like into it. They're going, check this out. That's the deal. Even the angels, together with the prophets. Verse 13, he goes, wherefore, since that's the case, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind and be sober. You know what that means, guys? It's kind of like we would say in our context, we say, roll up your sleeves and get in this job. Or gird up your loins means get ready for your race. Gird up the loins of your mind and be sober. And hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Hope to the end. Don't ever give up this hope. And look, when the Bible uses the word hope, it's different than how we use it in our culture today. Today we're like hoping that the sun will come out. We'll actually get a little bit of summer, right? But that means we're kind of wishfully thinking. We're like wishing for it. But hoping in this sense means I know something's going to happen based on the promise of God. My hope is in this. Hope to the end, you guys. In verse 14, he said, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance. We used to live by our lust. We used to be driven by desire and ignorance. We didn't know any better. Well, now we do. We've got to fashion our life, our whole lifestyle, to be different now. Verse 15, he goes, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. That means your whole lifestyle, every aspect of your lifestyle ought to reflect the holiness of the God you live for, who saved you. It is written, verse 16, be ye holy, for I am holy. And if you call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. Sojourning. You're on a journey, you and me. And we ought to live this journey with a constant acknowledgement that we're on our way to stand before the Father. He's going to judge us. There's a level of respect when he talks about fear. He's talking about, come on, live your life with that kind of respect for the judge who's going to evaluate your life when it's all done. We ought to live our lives with that kind of respect. And that's what he means by fear in verse 17. And then he adds this big punch to it. Verse 18, for as much as you know, you were not redeemed with corruptible things, silver and gold from your vain conversation. That is, your meaningless lifestyle, which was received by tradition from your fathers. You were not bought out of that meaningless way of life by something cheap. He's talking to us as people who were slaves and we were bought out of our slavery. What price was paid for us? It wasn't some cheap thing like gold or silver, something cheap and temporary, corruptible. It was something so precious. And he said, man, it was the blood of God's own Son, as of a lamb without spot and blemish. The precious, hear that word, that adjective, the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish or without spot. Guys, let me put it this way. If you today walk outside, go across that road, and in the process of your crossing, you suddenly become aware, but way too late, that a big truck is bearing down on you. Someone basically gets themselves killed, crushed in the process of leaping to push you out of the way. And they are crushed under this. You run over after you get up. And they ask you, who just saved your life, with their dying breath, could you do a couple things for me? Could you take care of my wife? Would you be obligated? Wouldn't you go, of course. Why'd you do that? And you did it for whatever. Of course, anything you ask of me is reasonable. That's the deal. Here, Peter's saying, will you recognize the price that was paid for you? Factor that in to your journey. Factor that into how you live your life. Factor it into your lifestyle. Does your lifestyle, conversation, the Bible talks about, how you converse, does your lifestyle telegraph to everybody around you that you're a debtor to Jesus Christ? Because we owe Him. We don't owe anybody else. We don't owe this world anything. We do not owe the flesh anything. We owe Him. Guys, that's the deal. That's what Peter's calling us to. Remember what price was paid to buy us out of our slavery. Precious blood of Christ. In verse 20, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. Here at the end of time, the one who was promised at the beginning of time and planned before time, he was manifest. And it was for you. Verse 21 says, who by him do believe in God that raised him up from the dead, gave him glory, that your faith and your hope might be in God. Seeing that you have purified your souls and obeying the truth through the Spirit. You know what? You Christians, he's talking to you. You have purified your souls in obeying the truth. Now, what about those of you here today? Maybe you're among us today and you haven't. You have not yet obeyed the truth. You have not put your hope in Jesus Christ. If you haven't, you can. You must. Purify yourselves by obeying the truth. You can be cleansed. Man, we are all filthy sinners, and we can be cleansed from that. He said in verse 22, seeing that you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit under the unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart, fervently. How about those words, huh? See that you do it. See that you love one another out of a pure heart, fervently. Christians, we all got this in common. We were all bought out of slavery. We've all been redeemed. A high price was paid for us. Since that's the case, man, we got to love each other purely and fervently. Take advantage of every opportunity to get together. Don't skip out on a church picnic. If you can help it. Still bent out of shape about that, huh? It was awkward. I'm going to tell you, it was awkward. Showing up, big bounce house and all that, and there's like 20 people out of all of the people that make this their church home. Yeah. Like, do we really love each other? Do we really? Do we love each other purely and fervently? See that you do, it says. Check this one out, verse 23. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. You know, my little boy is kind of curious, like anyone would be. Kind of curious about how do people come about? How do they start? You know, he's seen puppies born in our house. He's seen babies, and he knows they're in the tummy of your mommy. He's like, what? He's asking questions. And the best answer I can give him is the fascinating truth that every living thing starts out as seed. Seed's the deal. There's tree seeds, and believe it or not, Ben, there's people seeds. He's like, oh, okay, people seeds. I'm with you. But inevitably, he wants to know about the mechanics. Too early for that. He's just five, about to turn six. So all I can say, look, I'm just telling you, everybody starts out as seed, and God does the magic. And that's the truth. That's no lie. And it's no compound. It's like, God, it's magic, man. This thing that God does, how people are conceived, is magic. Well, we're sitting at Dysart's truck stop having breakfast with some friends. He's sitting over on the other end of the table with 16-year-old, at least at that time, 16-year-old Dominic Vayu. Decides to explain to Dom, in case he doesn't know, where people come from. That was fun to hear. Because Ben basically summarized, he goes, you know, people start out as seeds. He's got this attitude, you know, he's going to educate his team. He's like, yeah, people started out as seeds, but I think it's magic. He whispers. It is. It is magic. You and I were all once a seed. Just seeds. Living things all come about by the genius of God as a result of seed. And so also, you and I as spirits, having been born again, the seed was the Word of God, incorruptible seed. Isn't it amazing? What has happened here that made us children of God? Seed. Let's wrap it up. Man, this is the hard part, these last two verses. It says, for all flesh is as grass. And the glory of man is the flower of grass. And the grass withereth, the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of God, the word of the Lord, endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. This is the reality. The reality that we sang here. Flowers quickly fading. You and I, at least the material part of us, have this in common with the tree. We've got this in common with the flower. We were conceived by seed. We grow. We flourish. We reach whatever is our prime as a flower. And then just like a flower, we wither. We fall. But not the real us. The real you, conceived by the Word of God. The seed was the Word. The real you. No fading. My wife has planted some flowers around her place. And we've planted a lot of stuff around the yard. And I came back from my last trip, wherever it was, and there were these flowers everywhere, including some of them on the steps, going up to the front door. Matter of fact, Ben, remember Ben going, hey, Dad, look at these. You know what these are? They're snapping dragons. And the snapping dragons were in a bad location. I could tell that's not going to work out too good, and it hasn't. Because right there on those steps, two very big dogs always return from taking care of business, and they sit there looking in, wagging their big sweeping tails. And they beat those snapping dragons to death. And they've accelerated the withering of those little flowers. And so it is with us. I'm honestly, we got a lot in common with the flowers. Not the real you, the eternal you, having been born of an incorruptible seed. Christian, live your life with those things in mind. That's what Peter tells us in this first chapter. God knew us, chose us, and he paid a high price to set us free. Let that affect how you live your life, and live your life knowing that you're on your way somewhere. You're on your way to this very impartial judge. Have that respect. But also have that excitement. Counter the reality that you're dealing with troubles in life with the inheritance that is yours, that nobody can touch. But if you're here today and you have not accepted Christ, you got nothing. You got no inheritance. You've got no glorious future to look forward to. How do you go through life like that? How do you deal with the pain of life here and now if you think this is all there ever is ever going to be and it's only going to get worse? You got nothing to look forward to. Please, accept Christ today. If there's anybody among us that hasn't done that yet, do it now.
God's Sword is a production of Calvary Chapel in Central Maine, located at 154 River Road in Orrington. If you have any questions, comments, or need prayer, please contact us at 207-991-9555, or you can email us at info@ccbangor.org. If you're in the Central Maine area, you can listen to God's Word daily on WJCX 99.5 at 9 a.m. and again at 5 p.m. can also check out our online teaching and available resources, or make a donation to help support God's Sword at www.ccbangor.org.
You are listening to InSearch Radio, dedicated to providing inspirational and important content for you and your family. You can listen to our broadcast through our website at InSearch.com or pick up our podcast through iTunes. We encourage you to post your own story and to share our content with others.
This is John DeSalvo. I want to tell you about an incredible product for your car called 5-Star Shine. Once you use this, you'll never have to wax your car again and it will always look bright and clean. 5-Star Shine is the only paint protection system ever granted a U.S. patent and used by the U.S. Navy in the world's harshest marine environments. 5-Star Shine protects cars, trucks, SUVs, boats, and aircraft for years and keeps them much cleaner between washes with a super slick coating. It also keeps your vehicles always looking their best. In addition to the world-famous 5-Star Shine paint protection system, 5-Star Shine also offers car dent removers, car scratch removers, products for removing ugly oil stains from driveways, and so much more. Check out their website and their products at 5starshine.com, and that's the number 5, 5starshine.com. Thank you, and God bless.
Enjoy the music of Christian singer and songwriter Terry Clark. Terry's music can be purchased on iTunes. This is his song, Thank You, Jesus.
I was so far away, as far as ever I could stray. But you were there to bring me back. Thank you, Jesus, for the grace that you have given us. We could never pay, but from my heart I'd like to say
you would like to get a cell phone plan with unlimited voice, data, and text for only $49 per month, please email Glenn Kennedy at glenn@insearch.com. That's G-L-E-N-N at N as in Nancy, S-E-A-R-C-H.com, or contact him through msearch.com. You can also click the cell phone banner at InSearch.com for more details on this special offer. If you are interested, you can also earn money through the company by simply referring others so they can save money too. This cell phone company is rewarding their users for referrals instead of spending their money on expensive television ads. You'll be saving money each month and supporting InSearch Radio in our efforts reaching others with our inspirational programming. Thank you for your support.